Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships, to our orgasms, to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 63 of the O Woman Podcast. And in today's episode, I want to talk about orgasms. So really, one of the big questions here is, was that an orgasm? So learning how to read your body, learning how to have orgasms, or at least how to recognize when you've had them, and then what they feel like, and a little bit of information about all the variation that there really is with orgasms. Because ultimately, it's up to you. If you think you're having them, you're having them. So I want to talk about that today. It's definitely been a tiring week, I just want to say. So if I sound a little exhausted, bear with me. Just been tired kind of week, worn out. You know, the winter, you get a little dehydrated and tired, and kind of that's where I am right now. And full moon was yesterday, and so the energies, I feel like, have been a little crazy. So I just wanted to take a minute to acknowledge that we are all subject to the cycles of our life, whether they're ups or downs or in between. And today, even though I'm feeling a little more low key, I thought I should definitely still do a podcast, just because I want to do one every day, and I look forward to it every day. It's the highlight of my day, leaving work or going to work and recording this podcast in the car. For me, for you, for my future children to listen to one day when I'm gone, you know, any of those reasons. So today's topic should be exciting for all of those audience members that I just mentioned. So what is an orgasm, really? We hear so much talk about them. You pick up a Cosmopolitan magazine, you pick up some other magazine geared for men or women, and it's just a lot of it is orgasm, 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 sex, 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 sex. But the word that always goes with sex, it seems, is orgasm. And rightfully so, people should be at least often having orgasms, because that's the grand finale to sex. And if you're not, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you at all. I've talked about this before. It just means you need to spend some time with yourself, getting down and dirty with yourself, knowing what your body likes, how it works. And I've done a couple episodes in the past that I think would be really helpful if you're having some issues having orgasms as often as you'd like or at all. And I'll definitely link to them in the body of the post for today, where this audio is embedded. One of them specifically talks about how not being able to have an orgasm is a myth. I mean, come on, your body can do it. You just have to be in the right mood and the right mindset. And then another one of the episodes that I feel like would be a really good resource, actually, I would say the two episodes, they're back to back, is really all about your vagina and your vulva, and all about your clitoris is another one too. It's really worth listening to that one because it talks about what is the deal with the clitoris, which is very central to a woman's orgasm. So it's worth checking that one out because you learn a lot about the anatomy of what's going on. So you actually have a clue. Even though it's your body, you're experiencing it. Sometimes you don't know how to put a word, or put words with what you're feeling. So first of all, orgasms, the word orgasm comes from the Greek word for excitement or swelling, which I think is pretty cool. So it doesn't come from the Greek word climax, which is kind of interesting. Now, orgasm and climax, you can kind of use them interchangeably. People do that. But I think it's neat that orgasm is specifically rooted in the words excitement and swelling. So it almost implies that a big part of the orgasm is the lead up to the big moment, which is true. We've talked about it before, and you know it's true. You can't just have an orgasm nonchalantly, like, nah, whatever. It takes some energy. It takes some effort. It takes some foreplay. It takes some working towards it, and particularly working towards it on your part, getting used to what your body knows and likes so that you know where to lean, how to turn, what to tap into in order to feel what you want to feel. So one of the definitions of an orgasm also is A discharge of sexual tension. And really, that's one of the greatest things about an orgasm to me. I mean, yeah, they feel good, but there's something about it that is relaxing because it is a discharge of a tension in your body that your body has built up. And it can build up over just the period of when sex becomes imminent and your body's like, hey, I'm getting turned on. But it can also build up over days and over weeks, a tension, because the great thing about having orgasms is that your body releases all the other layers of emotions and feelings that come with a sexual tension. We've talked about how sex is so related to your physical, your emotional, your spiritual, your psychological life. So, of course, when you have an orgasm, you're going to release a lot of this extra energy. Sometimes you might cry after having an orgasm. I know I do sometimes. Not because you're sad, but because it's a release. Just like crying is a release, your body's letting go. You're getting certain hormones out of your body that are stressful to you. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have orgasms. It's a good thing to cry. And it's a really great thing to do both together, in my opinion. Super therapeutic. Orgasms are also characterized by rhythmic muscular contractions in most cases. Now, let's just make it clear that even though that's like the definition of orgasms, that you don't have to have that necessarily to feel that you're having an orgasm. There are people that have very different experiences, but on the whole, most people could say that they experience some sort of rhythmic muscular contractions of some part of their body. And oftentimes with a man, that might be when he's ejaculating, but as I've said before, orgasms for men don't necessarily correspond fully or overlap fully with ejaculation. So that's kind of a cool thing to point out. For me, the rhythmic nature of the orgasms, I notice them more during having orgasms that I would consider to be more vaginal in nature, or kind of a more internal orgasms, as opposed to the more external orgasms of a clitoral orgasm. And I suppose it's possible that the reason I notice that more is because that happens during intercourse, and so there is an item actually inside of me that I can feel the muscles moving up against, so it actually points out that there's movement more, and it makes that more of an acute, intense feeling. Other things that can come with having an orgasm, you could have muscular contractions, so different parts of your body could tense up, your arms and your legs could move. I've heard of a one woman who, when she has orgasms, her body doesn't move so much as she kind of like passes out. I mean, it's not, she doesn't actually pass out, but you think, oh my gosh, is she dead? But that's just how her body handles it, which I think is interesting. And that's probably rather rare. And if that's someone that, you know, you are like, make sure that you're warning your partner in advance, like, hey, I'm not dead. Just so you know, I'm just in the aftermath of an orgasm, or I'm having one. But usually there's some sort of muscular contractions or muscular spasms, and not just the ones that are in your genital region. Your hands and your feet might kind of tense and untense, different things like that. Your mouth might make the O shape, that they've actually observed different apes making that same shape during intercourse, and they're still on the fence about if these apes are having the very human orgasm experience. I would speculate that they probably are. I mean, we're related to them. They use sex as a social bonding connection thing, just like we do. So I would suspect that they are. So I just think that was something interesting to point out. Also, usually there's feelings of euphoria that comes with that. Some sort of 10, 20, 30 second extreme feeling of like how just everything being fantastic, perfect. I mean, it's not even something that you're consciously thinking of. It's not like you're going, man, today's great. I'm thinking thoughts. You're not thinking thoughts that actually make any logical sense that you could reiterate or describe. You're just have such a feeling of extreme pleasure that it's euphoric. And you look back on it and you think, okay, yeah, I know that is what it was. You might not be able to tell going into it what it might be for you, but it's just, it's almost like you are being washed or you are soaking into some sort of pleasurable gelatin or something. It washes over you, it sticks to you, and it takes over your entire world, and that's all that life is, just for a little while. At least that's how I feel about it. Usually people move around besides just those muscular spasms. They move around, they'll move their legs, they'll move their arms, they'll move their face, they'll move their head around. They'll lean into the orgasm, sometimes their bodies. I know that I do that. I can tell in the moment that I do it, and then I've been told that I do it too. Is that you kind of lean into the body, and the pressures and the bones and the whatever is pushing up against things in the right place so that you can kind of ride the wave a little bit longer. You're going to continue to surf. So another really cool thing about having orgasms is that both, for men and women, it releases oxytocin in your body, and prolactin and endorphins, and all of these things make you feel really, really good. Oxytocin is a super important part of your body that cuts on during pleasurable experiences, during bonding experiences, during labor. This is what actually starts the labor. It starts the contraction. So oxytocin has so many awesome uses, and sometimes you'll hear about during a woman's labor, she was augmented with synthetic oxytocin, you know, that kind of thing to get her labor to start, which is actually not a good idea at all, unless there is really high risk for the baby and the mother. But a lot of people want to induce women having babies just because most babies are born between 37 and 42 weeks. That's a 5-week range, and that's considered a normal pregnancy. So a desire to jump the gun just doesn't really make any sense if the pregnancy was considered normal, if the woman was considered normal. And I'm getting off on a kind of a tangent here, but if you've listened to other episodes, you know how much of a fan I am of natural childbirth, and how I'm currently training to be a doula, which is like a birth coach. It's not a nurse midwife role. It's just a support, and how I think natural childbirth is so fantastic. So I just wanted to throw out a little shout out to not inducing labor. If it's safe, don't do it. Your body makes enough oxytocin during that situation to have exactly what you need, to have the right amount of contractions to keep your baby safe. So I'll stop there because I don't want to get off on an extra tangent. But anyway, the point is when you have orgasms, it's letting out a lot of good stuff in your body that is really kind of the central thing that is the release of all that sexual tension. The big climactic moment that allows your muscles to contract and your body to spasm a bit and you to feel this euphoric feeling and all these hormones cutting on, that is all that together. That's the big release. That's it. That's your body's letting go of baggage or feelings or anything, and it's enjoying itself, and that's what it should be doing. It's kind of like a restart button, a reset button. And if you've not really had many orgasms or if you've never had one, you think, well, come on, reset button. I don't really understand what you're talking about. But when you have one, you realize, wow, I feel so refreshed in a way that I never have before. I mean, and you can feel comparably refreshed if you're doing a really relaxing bath or shower, or maybe going for a really relaxing swim in the ocean or something that's really special and deeply, you know, perhaps spiritual for you or important for you. But still, to me, an orgasm is a really great and also sexual, social bonding way to experience this sexual tension release or this life tension release. Because to me, sex is an expression of your life. In many ways, they're not separate, they're connected. And when you are able to, in a comfortable setting, sexually release feelings or whatever you've got going on, it could be all good feelings, but you still need to release, it does a really great job of hitting the reset button for you. Also, when you're having an orgasm, just like during regular sexual activity, your heart rate's going to go up. But even more so, all of these things that I'm going to say, even more so during having an orgasm. So this is one way you can kind of tell what's going on. But once you have one, you're gonna know. You're gonna know what's up. Your breathing changes, the pace of your breathing changes. Your blood pressure also changes, which is a really cool thing. And then, of course, if you're a woman, which I imagine you probably are, if you're listening to the O Woman podcast, and if you're not, keep listening. This podcast is for you too. If you're a woman, your body is going to experience an orgasm in the genital region, fantastic feelings in that region. That's, in my opinion, on a continuum kind of between clitoral orgasms and vaginal orgasms. To me, they are only on a continuum, like human sexuality. And of course they're on a continuum because they're in the same area of your body. All these nerves have some crossover. They're all tantalized and turned on by being turned on sexually. You can't separate them out, just like no system is closed. There's no closed system, especially with your physical self. So to me, orgasms can be really highly clitoral, which in my opinion is that the pleasure and the stimulation and the focus and the feelings of intense goodness are in the clitoral region or in that area surrounding the clitorals. So your meaty area right there around the clitoris, that area right above the pubic symphysis, right where everything comes together, your mons. And then also to your vulva, different things like that. So a lot of women's clitorises are really sensitive. It depends on lots of things. It just depends on you naturally. It depends on what you like. It depends on the size of your clitoris. In my opinion, I think that has something to do with it. It doesn't have to do with how much you feel pleasure and how great things feel. But I've said this theory before. I have a rather small clitoris that you can actually see. And I think a lot more of my sexual center, a lot more of my nerves are kind of bundled up a little bit more internally. And so I think that's why I have better luck having orgasms through, intercourse at the same time and kind of a feeling like the orgasms end up being more vaginal. So on the continuum, I kind of got backtracked there. On the continuum, the clitoral orgasm, the focus is going to be more in that area. You're going to hope somebody's touching that area more. And you can always tell kind of what you're leading towards if you know what body part you're hoping that other partner you're with is going to interact with the most or touch the most. And now, like I said, the orgasms that I have, I feel like, are more focused, the sensations that I like better, and where I feel actually the movement and the contractions and the muscle spasms, I feel that more internally and less in my clitoris region. So on the continuum, I feel like my orgasms are a lot more vaginal in nature because they are much more inclined to happen through actual intercourse. And there's some pressure that I need kind of on my outside, you know, mons area and that kind of meaty section of me, but it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to be that way. And it doesn't have to be very extended very much. So this is my theory, like I just said, is that more of my nerves and more of my sensation is felt internally. And the G-spot, as I've said before, I believe that exists. I know there's no real proof that it does, but people have done studies and they've looked to see that certain areas of a woman's body, on certain women, not on everyone, have a lot more activity going on during a sexual situation when they're having orgasms. So a few inches in on the on your stomach side as opposed to the back side of your vaginal canal. Like a kind of a bundle of nerves there or something kind of underneath that layer of your vagina, kind of right in there. So that's where I feel the most stimulation. And one of my best friends has always said, oh, that is not where I feel anything at all. And we've had extended conversations about this before, and it's really nice because everybody has a very different sexual experience, a very different understanding of what orgasms feel like to them. And I think a lot of that has to do with what sort of an orgasm they really have, which area feels the best to them. Do they have a more clitorally focused orgasm or more vaginally focused orgasm? But one of my best friends is like, oh, no, I don't feel the penetration part. I mean, feels good, but I can tell it's not going to really lead to anything. It's just fun. It's not, you know, it's not going to come to fruition at all. She's like, I need definite, very focused clitoral stimulation, and not, you know, on my clitoris. Obviously, it needs to be nearby because it's a sensitive place, but I can tell, I know that that is the focus. That is what I want touched. That is what I want dealt with. And that's very different than me. That is, that's not what I want touched and dealt with. And the only way that I really would want my clitoris interacted with, really, would be if it was, you know, very indirectly, and probably just through, movement and kind of wiggling around, which would kind of naturally happen during an intercourse situation. Anyway, during certain positions. And I've done an episode where I talked about positions that are the best for me having orgasms. So make sure you check that one out if you're curious. But I want to actually talk about, like, how the actual orgasm feels. So for me, when I was first learning how to have them, and this is something that you can look up online, you can read yourself. Well, you're like, well, how do I know I'm going to be close? Like, you're starting from scratch. You don't know what you're dealing with. Like, how do I know I'm going to be close to having an orgasm? And one of the things you learn is that if you're getting close, you might think you have to pee. But in almost all cases, you are not going to pee. Plus, I hope you've chosen a partner who is like, psh, whatever, who cares if you pee? I like you enough in many ways that it's not a big deal. But you're not going to pee. It's just that area of your body is getting turned on in a way. And as you get older, you realize, or as you get more experienced, you realize, oh, this feeling of thinking I have to pee, that's not actually me having to pee at all. I can totally tell the difference. But at first, when you don't really know what's going on in that area, that's what it feels like. It feels like I kind of have to pee. So if you have the feeling that you have to pee, lean into it. Don't run away from it. Don't clamp down. Open up into that and lean towards it. And I mean physically lean towards it if that's what's going to work for you. But I mean emotionally lean towards it. Like, go in for the hug. Do it. That's the right path. Follow the pee trail. Or what feels like the pee trail. And that's going to take you to a really good spot. And once you get kind of more turned on, you get into that area, you're going to realize, okay, this is different. This doesn't feel like I have to pee so much anymore. It's just the beginning of the intense excitement of the area that is about to allow me to have an orgasm. To me, also, when I have an orgasm, in most cases it's a vaginal one or a more vaginal one. That's how I can feel it. To me, I feel like it's waves kind of crashing together inside of me. That's what it feels like. Or a bird or a butterfly flapping its wings very rhythmically. But usually I imagine kind of a water situation, waves crashing together, because it also feels epic and huge, as epic and as huge as the ocean when it's intense and it's stormy and things like that. So to me, that's kind of what I feel, what I imagine. And I've talked to different women about what they feel, what they imagine. It's always different. I think it just depends on your own ideas of symbology and just what you would relate it to in your own life. So that's really fun to talk to people about that and hear what they have to say. What does it feel like to you? The more orgasms I have, the more you are able to kind of isolate what you're feeling. You experience them, you like the way they feel, but sometimes you're able, especially if it's a less intense orgasm, to kind of sit back while you're having it and kind of take a tally, take some numbers, figure out exactly what you're feeling and what's happening. And you can feel the muscles in your vagina contracting and moving. And you can feel the pressure in the certain areas that feels good for you. So as you get, you know, better at having them, you're having them more often, you're going to be able to tell which pathway you should go down in order to increase your ability to have them. Which way you should be leaning, which way you should be going. Also, I want to say too that if you haven't been able to have an orgasm when you were hoping you could, sometimes it can be so damn stressful. Because like I was saying before, having an orgasm is a release of sexual tension, which is therefore a release of all sorts of tension. So you don't get to have an orgasm and you're hoping you are going to get to. And especially the closer you are and that if you don't get to have one, the harder it is. And it's like that with men and women. It's like that with both people. And it's okay to be a little bit frustrated about it, but it's not okay to take it out on your partner. It's not okay to lash out, to be annoyed and frustrated and say things that are hurtful, or to be pushy and say, well, let's keep doing this. No, we have to. Take a breath. If it's not going to happen that time, it's okay. You just need to remove yourself from the situation. If you need to cry about it, do it. Because that is a release of some of the tension that you're holding in your body. It's okay to do that. I would maybe give your partner a heads up and say, I feel like crying. I'm not that mad. I'm not that stressed that I can tell. My body is stressed. I need to let it cry it out. I'm not upset with you, whatever. I've done that a couple times, and if you give the partner a heads up, I've never found any issue. They're just like, okay, I understand. It's hard to hear you cry, but I'll let you do it. That's what your body needs to do. You might need to go exercise or something. You know, whatever you need to do, that's do it. That's what your body needs. Get some of that tension, get some of those hormones going in the right direction in your body. So if you get to a point in your sexual encounter where you are starting to feel kind of frustrated and really kind of push the envelope with yourself, maybe with your partner a little bit, that's a good time to stop. I've done an episode about when the quest for an orgasm goes too far. It's not, you don't need to always push it. And when you push it, most likely it's not going to happen. And if it does, it's not even going to be that great of an orgasm, because so much of an orgasm is also emotional. Whether it's your emotional state or how you feel about your partner, it's all related. So it's better not to push it. It's better to just kind of remember what happened, what didn't work, what did work, and go into it next time with those notes that you've made for yourself and prepare yourself. The really good thing, though, about almost having an orgasm but not, is that you know you're so close. You know you can do it. You just have to get to the top of the mountain. You're not there yet. You will get there. But every time, don't expect to have one every time, especially if you're kind of teaching yourself, you're learning how to do it. Just every advance you make, honestly, the more frustrated you get, if you're more physically frustrated, you can feel a physical frustration as opposed to I'm annoyed, I can't have an orgasm. You're probably getting closer to having one if you're getting more physically frustrated, which means you're going to have one. You just have to give yourself some time and some patience. And then before I go today, I want to talk a little bit about a couple other kind of orgasm-related things. Like, I've heard of this, I don't know if you've heard of this, a breast orgasm or a nipple orgasm kind of thing, which is usually characterized by kind of an intense, very short-lived feeling of kind of orgasmic euphoria in your genital region when your nipple is stimulated. These can happen when you're nursing a baby sometimes. These can happen when you're with your partner. So look out for those, because those are pretty cool. It's like a tantalizing little woo moment. And I never thought I was having those until I was looking more into it, and I was thinking, I think I am. They're just so brief and passing that you don't notice them, and you don't think of them in the same way as having an orgasm that's much more clitorally, genitally, vaginally focused. So just think about that too, and that is a good kind of foreplay measure too. So that also cuts on some of your oxytocin. So, for example, if you are in labor and you are needing your body to have more oxytocin to get better contractions, nipple stimulation works. Isn't it cool? The body system is so amazing the way everything is connected. So I hope today's episode gave you a little bit of insight about orgasms and, like, what they are you having them and what they feel like. As always, make sure you check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. You can email me, Emma@owomanpodcast, with questions or comments or anything. Check out the page that's episode archives to catch any show that you've missed. Check out Facebook too. A Woman Podcast is on Facebook. Like the Facebook page. You can leave comments there also. And go to iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, and rank some of the episodes, please. That would be awesome. I would love to have some episodes ranked. Thank you so much for listening. I always love talking with you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.